The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
We welcome you back to Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. I'm sitting with Scotty Moore. Scotty was on my program, about 6 weeks ago or something like that?
I believe so.
It's great having you back.
It's a pleasure to be here. Love it. It's really great to spend time with you, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're certainly are welcome. You know, the day that you were here, Scotty has been for a long time, is still involved with the family known as Crew, and has worked in a number of different areas of the country. He's been living in other parts of the world. In fact, he met his wife from another part of the world. And we talked about that last time. But, you know, with all of it, what I love most about Scotty is he's a man who loves Jesus. And I think that's something that is the mark of the people that you work with at Crew. As different a background as they all come from, that's the one thing that they have in their heart. And we talked about the Jesus film and the impact that it's brought when you were last with us. But this thing called the gospel is just bigger than anyone can believe. It's amazing, and the importance of it in your life is very evident.
Well, praise God. And yes, the gospel transforms lives, and that's what I like to do. I like to be a part of helping transform lives. And I have this saying that I've worked into just what I do is I help transform lives for the rest of their lives, people's lives. But I offer people an opportunity to transform their life for the rest of eternity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to help people through the different certifications that I have in the leadership training and the consulting and health coaching and the Strengths Finder, helping people understand themselves and understanding emotional intelligence and gaining better emotional intelligence. These are all great things. These are things that I believe God has given us, and there's a purpose. And, you know, changing your health or improving your leadership are great things, and they can have huge impacts, but they will last for your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
They may last beyond your lifetime, but they don't go into eternity. But I offer people an opportunity to also change their life for the rest of eternity. And that is because I believe that when we die, our souls continue on, live forever. And there's an opportunity there. And it's a very important decision that everyone needs to come to grips with and understand and make a decision. Yes or no. Who am I putting my trust in? And I was trained with Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ. Win people to Christ, build them up in their faith, and teach, train, and equip them to go out and help others know Jesus as well.
And you know, that whole call for discipleship is as old as the Bible is itself. It's the message that Jesus gave his disciples, and that this is not just for us. Yeah, our whole life. And I think it's so easy to get comfortable and forget that one call that God gave us, that we're not just to keep this as a treasure that's buried in our heart, but we're to make it to be like a light set on the city on a hill, where it shines out into the darkness of this world. And man, we're seeing a world that is darkened right now.
Yeah, we are. And I have a heavy burden about that. My heart is heavy. As I just look out and experience, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old daughter. And I think about them growing up in the United States and even just in the global economy and just mm-hmm. the global sphere. I think about my future grandkids and what kind of world they're going to inherit, what kind of America they're going to inherit. And yeah, I'm very burdened about that. I feel like it's important to turn to the precepts of God, to have the Bible inform where we're going. And I believe the Constitution is right in line with that. That's
mm-hmm.
And so we have this document along with the living word, which is that I think is really foundational. And unfortunately, I think we're missing it in a lot of areas, and we're paying a heavy price for that.
We are paying, and our grandkids and their children are going to be paying a price for some of the things that are going on. And if this current plan that's out there that's being talked about It's like it, that would double everything that we've got so far from the standpoint of national debt and ongoing furtherance of the impossible payback of these debts that we owe. And our country is in, I think it's in a crossroads position right now. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you back. You know, when you gave that big list of things that you're doing, the picture I instantly saw is like a spoke on a wheel, a bicycle spokes, with all of these different lines coming out from your heart. You love all of these different things. You love coaching, and you're a writer. I mean, you do a lot of things that it's like, how does Scotty Moore have the kind of time? But there's something that you mentioned to me in our lunch that we just had that I thought was worth our talking about today. And that is that you believe that you're called. You believe that God has spoken to you in a particular area. And, you know, I believe that God does that. I know that he gives us his word, and without a doubt, we all can read the word and we see the voice of God. But then there's this particular type of a one-on-one impression that God can lay on the heart of a believer where they feel that God has directed them. And even though there may not have been words spoken, literal words or audible words, it may as well have been. And yeah, because you feel that God has led you in a direction, and that is in line with what you're talking about the darkness of this world. You feel in specific called that you're investigating this call as we speak about running for an office in the great nation of America.
Yes. Yes, I am. And I do believe that I'm passionate about a lot of things, but they're all tied to one thing, which is the thriving of people and pointing them to Jesus Christ and understanding that I believe everyone was made with a purpose. And when we live out and we engage and connect in that purpose, when we have, it makes all the difference in how we respond and feel and connect. And tying back to the other question you were asking, one of the hallmarks of Campus Crusade for Christ, of CRU now, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, understanding and being aware of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit works in a number of different ways, sometimes through teaching of a pastor or different preaching. And sometimes it's through friends and family who come along with a special word or some things that are said. Sometimes it's,
and that would be like a prophetic word.
Correct. It could be a prophetic word. It could be, but it doesn't have to be straight from the teaching. It could be just a, you know, an impromptu type of thing, perhaps. But
an impression.
Yeah. Where the Lord is speaking through someone. Right. And then there are other.
And I believe the Bible, I think it's important for us to just note here, the Bible talks about this. This is in 1 Corinthians 14, where there, and that does not mean that what is spoken in that moment or in that setting, it is certainly not equal to the Word of God in strength or authority, but the Bible gives us the picture of its use and its value.
We believe God is always at work, and we believe that the Holy Spirit, whom is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And when we trust and put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough. We need to stir that Holy Spirit every day, to be in step with that Holy Spirit, to be aware, to be sensitive. Part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to put his finger on areas that don't honor him, where we can turn towards Jesus when we're, and he can speak to us and communicate and guide us. And so, through teaching and preaching, and also through prophetic word, or just even some friends and family giving you a word that's consistent with other things. Sometimes it's through just his word alone. The Holy Spirit is, through that inspired word, is speaking to you. And sometimes it's through circumstances that you're encountering over and over and over and over again. Perhaps the Lord is really trying to impress upon something upon me. And then there's the one that may sometimes be the most challenging, but is the Holy Spirit impressing upon ourselves. There's no audible voice, but he is living within us. And what is that? You know, if you've ever thought that perhaps you're speaking to yourself or you're communicating, that Holy Spirit communication, you know, we can communicate even without opening our mouth and saying any audible voice with the Lord. We can have that inner dialogue. And so there's times when the Holy Spirit speaks and puts that impression upon people. And so we were talking earlier as well, is that one of God's love languages, of the many, is obedience. It's because he says in John 14, if you love me, you will obey what
you
I command.
You will obey my word.
And yeah. And so if he's asking us and telling us and sharing us, it's a real simple decision. It doesn't make it easy, but it's really simple. Mm-hmm. And the simple is obedience. Because when I know, now I have a choice. Am I going to obey or disobey?
Now, on that, there's timing that's involved. And sometimes the Lord speaks a word to our hearts and we have faith for it. And then we have to say, is it for right now or is it for a month from now or a year from now? Have you made that call, that decision? Have you crossed that line on this thing that you've been hearing from him?
Yes, it's a great question. And I believe in my spirit, I have this impression that the Lord is creating a moment in 2022, that there's a groundswell of uprising of we're just observing a lot of things that are happening. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in a number of different areas. And I just believe that there's a moment. And what I think is significant about the word moment is moments come and go, but you can't keep them and hold on to them for another time.
Mm-hmm.
There will be new moments, but I can't preserve this moment in 2022 that I believe is coming and hold on to it for 2024 or 2026.
Now, can you elaborate a little bit on that moment? What do you see some of the, I guess you could say, characteristics or impacts of that moment? What do you see happening?
Yeah, I believe there are shifts happening. There are changes to come. I believe there are significant, maybe certain ways that we are heading in a certain direction, and there's a shift happening. And so I am strongly considering running for U.S. Congress in the Florida 9th District because of what the Lord has been impressing upon my heart,
mm-hmm.
and because I want to be a part of the change to help solidify where I believe we're supposed to be based, which is rooted in we the people and the Constitution of the United States and honoring the Lord. And so there are many issues, too many to number right now at this point, but I would be glad to come on and have specific conversations. But for example, abortion is one that I care very deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And being a person who's lived over in Brazil for a number of years, my wife is Brazilian, was born there. The first 30 years of her life were in Brazil. She's now an American citizen, and we love each other's culture very dearly. Just this morning, we got up early to watch different things in the Olympics that are related to Brazil and the United States. And she cares deeply about the United States, and I care deeply about Brazil. But I have a very strong America First policy. And that does not mean that I dislike Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the contrary. However, just like in any business or whatever, you cannot neglect the business or be so generous with your proceeds at the business that you go out of business, because then you therefore are not able to be generous anymore.
That's a great point. That's a great illustration too, to really what's going on right now.
And so it does not mean that people who own a business should not be generous, but it does mean that we need to be financially wise, and we need to take care of our people, of our employees at the business. We need to make sure we're stewarding that well and caring for them, providing what they need. And so an America First policy does not mean hate the rest of the world. It means care for the people that you have under your leadership,
mm-hmm.
under your sphere, and make sure your nation is thriving and prospering. And as you prosper, you will be able to help others prosper as well. But if we are so generous or not stewarding well.
Could we even use the word reckless?
Reckless. We risk.
Yes.
Risk allowing that generosity to continue on because we are going bankrupt.
I believe our leaders are indeed right now have made decisions that are indeed reckless. That are, if you have talked as I have to people who have actually visited our southern border right now, and have seen what is going on and have laid their eyes, if you will, on the stuff that's going on and happening in our poor Border Patrol people that are having to try to maintain some sense of order, it's really much worse than what anyone can believe. And it's easy for us to kind of close our eyes and look the other way and act like it's not happening, but it's happening at an alarming quick pace right now.
Yeah. And what I dislike about politics is oftentimes it's people are labeled one way or the other without really understanding that there's so many nuances to this argument and this decision and the ramifications of such. And so, for example, I have many, many friends who are trying to come into the U.S., right? But I never say, well, you should just come in through this way illegally because it works, because we have laws. And if we dislike the process, then we do not have the freedom to ignore the laws and create our own process. We have to change the laws, right? So if I dislike paying taxes and I feel like it's unfair, I do not have the freedom to just decide to change the law or to not pay the taxes because I feel like it's unfair. No, what you have to do is change the law. And that's what the legislature is all about. It's creating and defining and setting these laws. And when they're too harsh or when they need to be corrected, they do that.
It's this thing called the rule of law. And it seems, help me out here, man, but it seems that that seems to be in short supply of understanding in our current makeup of Congress and in the Senate in a lot of areas. It's like they are just looking the other way and forgetting what the rule of law says.
And so you're absolutely right. And part of it's being consistent and holding accountable. And so if, again, people feel like it's not correct or not able, the way to change that is change it through the law as opposed to ignoring the current law.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's difficult, I understand that some of these things, healthcare is another great example. I really disagree with how healthcare is being run here. It's very frustrating. You can have health insurance and still pay a ton of money, you know, but do I feel like we need to go to everyone just as a socialist kind of? No, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I think what we need to do is address the costs, which seem to be skyrocketing. Another example is education. Educational costs have just gotten way out of control. And it just seems like, where is that accountability and holding people accountable to making some better decisions and holding, because it seems like certain people are just continue to get more rich and certain people have much more power and we're just not making, so you don't need to swing the pendulum to the other way. Right.
Right.
But what we do need to do, and this is where I give Senator Marco Rubio a ton of credit, and I appreciate him and his perspective and his leadership, that he tried very hard to fight, and he continues to fight for, and many people in the Republican, Senator Ted Cruz does as well, and others. But it's much more nuanced, and we need to have bipartisan help and change the law and not just ignore the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're running into problems, and people are doing it for political bonuses and reasons, and it's destroying our nation. We're allowing COVID and so many other things to come in unchecked, potential terrorists, and it's very dangerous. And that is not appropriate. That's not how you govern a nation.
I agree with you completely. My guest today is Scotty Moore. We're going to be back with Scotty coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. In the studio with me today is Scotty Moore. Scotty is a member of the Crew team, and the Campus Crusade for Christ is what it was once called, now Crew. And Scotty is a part of this. And while we spent most of the time last time talking about that and some of the things that Scotty also loves doing, like coaching. And in the next segment, we'll even talk about one of the aspects of coaching that he's doing right now. You mentioned it, and that's health coaching. And that is kind of exciting. So I'm really looking forward to talking about that. But I wanted to just go ahead and carry on what we were discussing in segment one. This thing that you're exploring right now in your life, it would be a big change for you if you follow through and really have this confirmed in your heart that God is indeed calling you to run for a political office, not just any local office or statewide or regional, but Congress, for crying out loud. Now, that's a pretty big jump to go from not doing anything at all to being a candidate for Congress. So I know it's one that you would have considered and are considering. And what in the world goes on in the mind of a young man that's looking at that?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I appreciate it. Obviously, my 20 plus years within crew does not signal a career path that I've had strategic steps here to jump into politics. This is clearly something that I was going one direction and being faithful to obey what the Lord had called us to do. He clearly called us on a crew staff, and we lived in Brazil and we lived in Austin, Texas for a couple of years. And then now it's just really, we've had a lifestyle where we are trying to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And even if it's not easy or what we want, we believe that He is sovereign. He knows all things and we don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's just following the Lord, following God and what He's calling us to do. And I implore everyone who is listening here, if you don't know Jesus, take some time and investigate who He is and who He wants to be in your life. Surrender to Him. And for those of you who have surrendered to Him, there's a difference between trusting in Jesus and living a spirit-filled life. And Bill Bright would often say that many, many Christians are leading defeated lives because we're not living the life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of one of the hallmarks of living in the power of the Holy Spirit is listening and obeying. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we always understand. And the Bible's full of stories of examples mm-hmm. of people all throughout Acts being filled with the Holy Spirit and having boldness and taking steps. And you have Abraham being asked to go a place that he doesn't even know, but just to take some steps moving forward and responding to some stirrings. And so, of course, we need to develop this. This is a skill that's learned over time. This is something that's similar, for example, before the time of caller ID, which many of us maybe remember and some of us listening don't. But if you picked up the phone, if you knew the person well, they did not even have to say their name because you knew by their voice
mm-hmm, true.
Who they were.
That's right.
And that's also true with parents and children. And the idea is we want to be able to understand God's voice so well that we discern when He's speaking to us and that we obey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes we're humans, and so we're not always perfect. And there'll be times where we disobey. And that's the Holy Spirit's role at that point is to gently nudge us to give us an opportunity to turn back to the Lord. And so the discipline that we've created is listen and obey and respond to what the Holy Spirit's doing. And so if the Lord, in fact, is stirring and processing and doing a bunch of different things, and this is what I'm investigating right now, do I have the faith to do it, even if it seems audacious, even if it seems like crazy? Because if you look at the story of Gideon, he went from 30,000 men to 300 men to mm-hmm. fight a battle.
Right.
And from anyone looking on the outside in, that looks like craziness right there.
It
right?
certainly does.
David, one of the smallest people, just a shepherd, fought Goliath, right? And not only that, but I don't think people realize or remember that if David lost, all of Israel was in the balance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, right? I mean, there was a lot on the line. That doesn't necessarily make sense, but there's a boldness. And so when God is at work, we respond and trust Him and follow.
And I really love what David said. I've just recently read through that whole story freshly. What he said when he was actually in a discussion with Goliath, when he said, "Who are you that you would say these things and be this way toward our God?" And that really is the question that we have to come up and we have to realize in our situation against the Goliaths that each of us are facing today. What are those things in light of God? And who are they that they would, in their audacity, be able to question God or challenge God? And so there are many people. I'm so excited about, Scotty, about you being here today, because I think you do represent what is going on in a lot of people right now. There's this stirring. You called it a moment that you believe is coming. But there's this stirring in their heart where there's a lot of questions now going on about, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this burden that's in my heart? What role can I play in the big picture of government, if need be, and if that's the direction that they're being called? How do I get involved? And these are questions that a lot of people, I'm finding an amazing amount of people that I'm talking to right now, are doing the very thing that you're doing, and that's considering making a difference governmentally by running for office.
Yes, and so many times when God is on the move, He's not doing it just in one person.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it in many different people. In fact, one of the stories that I was reminded of as I was processing through and praying through was John 21. John 21 is a really interesting story, because Jesus had died, resurrected, and now during this time frame, he was appearing to the disciples. But the disciples had gone back to their old profession. They were fishing, and they were fishing all night. And as the story goes in John 21, you can read it, Jesus is on the shore, but they don't know it's Jesus yet. And he calls out to the disciples who are fishing, "Friends, have you caught anything?" And they respond, "No, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught a thing." And he asked the disciples, he said, "Cast your nets on the other side." And they had a decision to make. Who is this fool, this crazy? We're the professionals, and we just told them, "We haven't caught anything. We've been here all night long." Do they go and toss it over or not? Now, what they didn't know is that I just pictured Jesus on the beach there, looking out, calling into the water with his arms outstretched and just bringing all the fish in that lake to that one side. Just, he is doing something that they do not see.
Mm-hmm.
And they cast their nets over there. And the Bible said that they caught so many fish that it started to sink their boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter was so motivated, he jumped out of the boat. He said, "Forget the fish," and he swam. But my point with all this is, sometimes I picture, what if God is doing something all across our nation, and not only our nation, but all across the world? I'm very connected to Brazil, and you got elections coming up in 2022 in Brazil and other places around the world. And so I believe that many times when God is on the move, it's not just oftentimes in one person. And so I do believe that he is at work. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that there is something coming up. There's a rising up in people to speak out and to share. Now, there's an appropriate way to talk and communicate and not let our epinephrine and be angry and yell. But there's absolutely, we have lost the ability to disagree and to have statesman conversation and women, mm-hmm. right? Where we work through, where we dialogue, where we disagree.
Agreeably,
or mm-hmm. even disagreeably, but we do it in an appropriate way,
yeah.
Right? But remaining silent and doing nothing is not an option. In fact, I am choosing to not be that way mm-hmm. anymore, that I am rising up. And I believe this is part of what the Lord is stirring, and it's not just in me, and I believe it's happening in many other places. And so that's just an example of what I see happening.
Now, you know, I'm instantly reminded of the whole thing of counting the cost, because we know that while salvation is free, it really does cost us the rest of our lives, and it should, because of its great value. But nonetheless, there is a cost, and Jesus did and made it very clear to his followers that we're going to go through many kinds, he said, many kinds, diverse kinds, the old King James Version said, of tribulations, of troubles. We're going to have our share of troubles. There's no question about it. And we can expect that to happen. But the other side of it is that there's no option. I mean, it's not like you can avoid trouble or that you can avoid difficulties. If you don't obey the Lord, You're going to have just a different type of them. I would much rather be obeying the Lord and taking on whatever troubles come in His name and doing it, knowing that at the end of the day, when I lay my head down at night to go to sleep, that I've done what God wanted me to do rather than what would have been a response out of fear.
No doubt. No doubt. And fear oftentimes keeps us from doing something that we know we ought to do. And James talks about, for if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you're
that's
in sin.
Yeah, that's
sin. And so it's really just this question of obedience and also recognizing that we have limited understanding. You know, for as much as there are incredibly smart people and just everyday ordinary people, but we are limited and we don't see the whole picture and we don't know all things. And it does not mean that obedience always means success, quote unquote success, in our eyes, but it does mean that we trust. It's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And mm-hmm. so we trust. And that's why it's good to have the brotherhood and just the family of God to come alongside and encouraging. I really believe that we have lost the art of creating an affirming, rich culture within the United States, probably around the world, but mm-hmm. I'll say that. And so when trials come, it's good to have family to come alongside and help and encourage and support. And we oftentimes tend to be so individualistic, and that's where people get destroyed. You know, if you look at the African plains and you talk about the Serengeti and different, you know, if you're watching the Discovery Channel, the animals that are oftentimes attacked are the ones that are separated from the mm-hmm. the group, or that are sick and can't keep up. And it's just this idea, when we're not unified together and encouraging, it's a real dangerous time to get attacked. And so, yes, I think, you know, when the trials come, there are costs mm-hmm. and it's good to think through those costs and to consider those costs. And sometimes there's a choice, should I or shouldn't I? And that's okay. You know, I mean, I think we have our free will to choose some of those things. There's other times when, for example, when choosing to run for office, I recognize that I have some very, very good friends who disagree with me, and that's okay. But I'm concerned they may not want to be friends any longer simply because of what I believe. And I think that's unfortunate. I hope that's not true. But those are some costs that I'm counting. My wife is looking at our family and our girls and wondering what the media is going to do and perhaps some lies and things. And she's saying, do I really want to be a part of that? Do mm-hmm. I really want to endure that?
Yeah.
Those are some of the costs that we're trying to. But I'm convinced, and I have a conviction belief around this, that if good people choose to not get involved in politics because of those environments, the only people left to fill those environments are people who perhaps don't honor the Lord. And I don't think that that's the right. I think there are people who are choosing to bow out because they are not willing to endure some of the things, when in fact they may be asked and called to do that, and they're choosing not to. And now, so
one yeah. of the things that I love, if I could jump in on that, I love about some of the people that I've met before that entered into Congress and said up front that I'm only going to be there for 8 years. And one individual from the Alachua County area, Ted Yoho, did exactly that. I mean, he went in, he spent that time. I believe he made a big impact. And then he left because his heart was not to do the whole model of becoming a professional politician, but wanted to do what I believe would be more in line and in keeping with our founding fathers' ideas as to what this should be, a representative form of government, a constitutional, basically republic, not a democracy. And that is unknown to a lot of people. I don't think there's a lot of young people today that could even articulate the difference between what they hear America is and what America was supposed to be. But one of the things that some guys like Ted Yoho would believe that we need to be there. We need to be Americans working in that position, not just like becoming a professional politician.
Couldn't agree more. And I'm right alongside with you that we are a constitutional republic. We have to have people, we the people, having representation of that, right? But when you have people like President Biden who has been in office 48 years. And I disagree with many positions that he has. I just think that that's very dangerous when you have Speaker Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and then even Mitch McConnell on the other side, you know, just continuing to be lifelong people in there. We're losing touch with the people that they represent, mm-hmm. and the power becomes too great. And I think it's destructive for the purpose behind it.
Well, we've heard many people already talk about the fact that they would have entered in those early years in serving with right motives and right ideas. But the power that you mention is enough, if they listen to it and give in to it, it can drunken them with the idea of having the kind of riches and wealth. So many people enter into Congress just basically like everyday people and leave whenever their time is that they stop very, very wealthy. And you got to wonder, wait a minute now, what went on? How did that happen? And so we just got to get back to the basics, get back to what we talked about in segment one, the rule of law, and make laws soberly before the Lord and for the good of this country. But right now we're seeing a lot happen that is a long way from that.
We really are. And, you know, I don't know if I'm here on an official crew. I work with crew, but I'm Scotty Moore citizen here,
mm-hmm.
In this context. And I think it's important to say that it's important that I'm significantly praying through. My faith determines where I go, where I'm right. at, and what we're doing as a family. But I just cannot let go of the fact that I think election integrity is really important and needs to be investigated and taken seriously. And I think there's enough out there that I've watched hours and hours and hours of these Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin of these hearings. And now there's some audits that are happening. There's clear evidence, in my opinion, that shows that there should be some further investigations. And it concerns me significantly when many of us, the majority, in fact, I believe, of Americans feel that something went on mm-hmm. and it's not being looked into. I think it's significantly disturbing to me when stories are being suppressed, censored, or different groups, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Google, are suppressing searches or content that are now proven to be true, but it just was not. That's very, very dangerous.
It is.
And so we need to have people to speak into this and look into this. And I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm just saying right now that's not happening, and that's concerning to me.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Moore is my guest. We'll be back with Scotty in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. My guest today in the studio is Scotty Moore. Scotty's from Crew. He has been with Crew for many, many years. Today, as he has said, we've been having this discussion, and he's here as an individual citizen of our great country and a burden that has been on his heart about that country and about the directions that we are going and what we've seen happen, especially in 2020. And the election cycle, things that have been highly and very hotly debated and contested, and that contesting is still going on, as Scotty mentioned in the last segment, with audits of some of the elections. And they're still being looked at, friends. And the final chapter, although if you were to listen to the news media, they would tell you that it's long done. And why are we even talking about this? But there are many reasons, as Scotty said, that questions remain and will probably go on having questions in the future. But this is, for him, a season that he's in right now, as he's described to us. And Scotty, you jump in on this, but this is a season where you're deliberately praying and seriously seeking the will of God in your life over what this direction that you've felt compelled to go in about the potential of running for a national office with Congress. So it'd be a big decision. How can people pray for you?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. And I really covet your prayers. First of all, I just want to say that this is an important time for our country. And I believe there are moments within our country where we choose to act or not. And it's a significant action. For example, we got involved in World War II, and it was a moment. We had a decision, and we got in. Now, we were attacked. We had chosen not to get involved up until that point.
Until Pearl Harbor.
Yet we decided to get involved, mm-hmm. and it made a decision. It made an impact around the world. There are moments that matter. And so do not miss the significance of what's happening around our nation right now. And I think it's okay for everyone to bring that before the Lord and pray and respond and see how they are being asked to respond to that. And as for me and my family, we are praying and responding to how we feel the Lord is perhaps leading us. And even though it seems maybe audacious or people don't know my full story of why I want to run for U.S. Congress, or I'm praying about doing that, I've gotten involved in locally in state, and that's not my skill set, my sweet spot. And that's okay. And I know it seems rather audacious. Here's one thing that I'll say that I was reading recently that spoke to my heart, and it was in Acts. And John and Peter are before the Sanhedrin, and they were asked to leave, and a Pharisee addresses the Sanhedrin, and he says, "Therefore, in this present case, I advise you." He says, "Leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And so I believe that God is on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And as we mentioned earlier, I believe that God does the impossible. And so it seems rather audacious. So would you please, here are three main things that I knew needed to happen. Number one, I needed to have my wife and I be in unison. I wasn't going to move ahead until we were together as a family union. Unit. Number two, I needed to see in commitments come in and start to come in if we were going to do this, that campaigns are lost and won largely with donations. And so this is expensive, and I'm going to need people coming alongside and helping. I'm not going to be able to do this alone, but I believe if God's in it, he's going to help. And number three, perhaps I can step out into my coaching and leadership consulting and the Strengths Finder and emotional intelligence and the gifts that I have, that I help people with their thriving, the health coaching. We've helped people almost lose 1,000 pounds now on this journey and collectively, and talk about transforming someone's life. When they lose 50 pounds, that changes so many things about their life. And so, you know, I would love to have you reach out to me. I'd love to hear more. My email address is ScottyAMoore@gmail.com. So Scotty with a Y, A for awesome, more at gmail.com. And so reach out to me. I would love to get in touch. We're continuing to pray through this and figure it out. We're perhaps getting some different things in place that maybe need to get in place if we were to do this. And so, but I'm not going to be able to do it without people coming alongside and supporting and helping. And we need to be unified, pulling on that rope together if we're going to see God do this. And I believe he will. And so I'm just responding by faith.
Well, it's a great effort. It's a great cause. And I believe that all of us need to be praying along two different lines. Number one, pray for Scotty and others like Scotty who are really considering. Some have already pulled the trigger, if you will, and accepted the challenge and have officially signed and are actually already registered as a candidate. Whichever of those that you're praying for, pray for people to do that. Pray that there would be godly people, men and women, that will step up and fill these positions, not only in the Congress, but also for Senate and also for the state Senate and the state representatives that are so very important in the state of Florida and all of our state legislatures around the country. Then we have communities like cities and towns that need local leadership, commissioners, people who are going to run for mayor. We need to be praying for all of these people, that those that are in these positions will be God-honoring, God-fearing people. That's number one prayer. And then I think the second prayer, Scotty, before we switch gears here, is that all of our people need to be praying, should I be considering doing this? Is that something that God is calling us to do? So pray for others. Pray for that question right there. But pray we should be doing. We yeah. should be praying.
And pray how, perhaps, we can get involved. So
yeah.
the Lord may be calling you to do something, but it may not necessarily be run, but coming alongside, volunteering, giving
right.
gifts, donations. We all have a part to play in this body in helping out one another. And so it's according to our purpose and what we're doing. I really believe that when you step into your calling and what your purpose is, there's a thriving and an engaging and a passion that where you come alive. And so if you're called to business or to the arts or mm-hmm. or graphic design or fill in the blank, whatever it is, stay in that. How do you leverage that for the others? What's the Lord perhaps saying to you about how to get involved?
I like it. Well, let's switch gears and let's go now to this whole thing about coaching, because I think that's another common thing. A lot of people feel like, well, I've got the COVID effect on my diet. It's they've been laying around. They've been not as active, and they may have a few pounds heavier on them than they want. And, you know, you went through this. I did not know this when I first met you, but there used to be more of Scotty than there is now.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of Scotty. Scotty, out of high school and college, was more of a skinnier guy. But, you know, I'm 42 now. And so over those 20 years, life happens. You know, travel, stress, getting married, kids, bad habits, all that added on. And then COVID seemed to accelerate that in mm-hmm. some respect. As an extreme extrovert, my wife jokes that I can even exhaust extroverts. I'm so extreme. it was extreme punishment to be shut down. And thankfully we live in Florida, and I praise Governor DeSantis for leading so well and so strongly. I think I would have struggled. We would have just been destroyed if we were like California or Michigan or New York, as far as the political climate for, and so as a result, my doctor was saying, Scotty, your cholesterol is getting out of control. My weight was getting out of control. I knew I wanted to change. I had tried changing, but guess what? It's hard. I didn't know how to do it. I think what I needed was not motivation, was a pathway. I needed to figure out how to do this.
Isn't that true for most of us?
So true, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very, very small percentage of people who are motivated and can create a pathway. And I give them, they're entrepreneurs at the best, because they start something from nothing. They create a pathway. Many of us don't have that talent or ability to create something from nothing. And so, you know, if you think about just a path in the woods, the more people walk on it, the more it shows to be a path and it's easier. But, you know, those first pioneers, they have to create the path.
Mm-hmm.
But once there's a path, it's a lot easier,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I just needed a pathway forward on how to do it. I would be faithful to follow the program. I just needed a program that mm-hmm. worked.
So you've now, as a coach, you help other people find that pathway.
I do. And my wife and I talked to her, and I had a trusted friend, my mentor, Ford Taylor, who does the transformational leadership, it's transformed my life and how I lead, and I'm certified in as well. He had gone through it, and I saw the impact on that. And I asked mm-hmm. him about it, and he shared with me. And so I told my wife, I said, I need to do this. And she said, I'm not doing that. And, you know, we've been married for 18 years. Our marriage is officially an adult now. And I said, you know what? That is fine if you don't want to do it, but I can't afford not to do it. Right. I need to do it. And, ironically, the day before I started, she said, okay, I'll do it with you.
Okay.
Which was great. And so we did it together. And for 3 months, it's a very, very simple. What I love about this program is just so simple. In fact, that's why we became a coach, because we love to help transform lives. And this is a significant piece in people's life,
mm-hmm.
the health. And I really do believe that our health is one of our most valuable assets. And when we lose our health, we would want to pay anything to get it back. And sometimes we do not have that privilege. And so I believe many people want to change their health. They just don't have a pathway for it. And then when there is a pathway, sometimes it's not simple to follow, and therefore it's not long lasting. Mm-hmm. This was not that case. And so for 3 months, we were very strict. We followed it. It was very simple. And I lost 45 pounds and my wife lost 40 pounds. And
you lost 45 pounds in how long?
In 3 months. And it was strictly diet.
Wow.
It was strictly diet. It's really fascinating.
That's
how our
fast.
Bodies are engineered. It got us into a fat burn. It's not keto, but it got us into a fat burn where your body ends up consuming itself. And it was, you don't feel hungry. And it's super simple to keep doing. And I got to tell you, when you start seeing the pounds come off, you get motivated. This is working. And it's not hard. Super simple. I'm not feeling hungry. In fact, I had to set alarms to eat because I wouldn't feel hungry. But and that's what we do. We help people transform their life. And like I said, we're approaching helping people lose over 1,000 pounds collectively at doing this. Mm. And I can tell you just the amount of, in fact, one guy said, I was talking to him about it. He asked me about my results. He's like, what are you doing? And I shared with him. And he said, no. And I think it was 5 months later, he said, hey, I'm ready to hear that about that stupid diet of yours.
Yeah, right.
And then he lost, I think, close to 50 pounds. And he said, man, I love this stupid diet. We joke around, but it's really just, it's a lifestyle. I've kept it off for over a year and we're just, it's really transformed how I live my life.
How can people find out more?
Yeah. I mean, you can, it really depends on where you're at, your current health, what program we need to get you on. You can reach out to me again, Scotty with a Y, Scotty Moore, Scotty A Moore, A for awesome @gmail.com. Reach out. I can get in touch with you. We can, I'd be glad to have a quick health assessment. It doesn't take long. That's not a gimmick. If you don't want it, no problem. It's a month by month type of thing. So it's not like you're signing up for 12 months.
No contract.
No contract. Mm-hmm. You're not getting stuck on eating their food or anything like that. It's just, it's very, very simple. It's really a plan that helps you get from A to B, and you get to choose what your B is. Like, what's your goal? In fact, many times people choose to change their goal because they kind of set a how many pounds they want to lose, but they really don't believe they're going to do it. And when they start seeing that they're losing pounds, they change to go even mm-hmm. bigger because they're like, oh, I can do this.
Yep.
You know? And so that's what we do. And it's just a part of helping people thrive and really live their best life. Mm.
Well, thank you so much for being here. This discussion, it's motivating to see somebody take on what I believe you're taking on. The goal to pray about all of this is something that we want to have before us. We'll be praying for you. And as I mentioned, others that are like you that really do need to step up. And then we're praying for the success for those that you help from their standpoint of their health. Thank you for doing all of that. We're out of time today, but thank you, Scotty Moore, for being here, man.
My pleasure. I love it. Thank you for the opportunity.
And friends, thank you for joining us as well. We'll catch you next time here on The Shepherd.